Was it a blue wave or a blue washout? Democrats, as expected, have taken control of the House of Reps but gone backwards in the Senate. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Each week we have a chat about the latest news and politics from out of the US. And this week, of course, it's all midterm results and the resignation of Jeff Sessions. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, first thoughts on yesterday's results. Did we see the fabled blue wave happen?
Yes, we saw the wave, but not a wave across the country. This was a suburban wave. The Democrats won big in the suburbs. They won big with women. And they won in places you wouldn't anticipate. They won in red states in the suburbs. So there was a wave effect. It wasn't a tsunami. It was the kind of wave you'd like at the beach. but it wasn't the one, the big Waikiki wave. So you can surf on this into a better future for America.
Well, let's start with the House. 28 seats, one in the House at time of recording, gives the Dems control. What will it mean for the Trump agenda?
Well, it will mean two things. One is, I think Nancy's smart enough not to go after Trump directly immediately. So she'll go after all of his underlings. Every cabinet member is going to come under enormous scrutiny. And they'll do everything to facilitate the Mueller investigation. So it'll be subtle pressure. The other thing the Democrats are doing, if you look at who they elected, these are young people. So they're building a team. So they don't want to put the team under too much strain immediately, but they have to let them loose, get them out of the nest. So they'll give them a chance to strike at Trump and the Republicans and set the agenda for the future.
Two of the youngest women ever elected to Congress, I believe, too.
Yeah, one is Hispanic, and the other one, I believe, is Native American.
We're going to circle back to those investigations in a moment, but the Senate, Democrats did go backwards in the Senate. What happened?
Well, I guess there are a couple of things here. One, candidate quality really counts. Donnelly was not a strong candidate, and so he lost in Indiana against a superior candidate. In the case of Scott, he was a very popular governor. And he got the Puerto Rican vote because he went to Puerto Rico and also because he shunned Trump. And Nelson was not a strong candidate. So he was a Democrat, but he wasn't a strong candidate. So we learned that about this. The other thing is, in the Senate, does it matter whether you have 51, 52, or 53? It wouldn't matter if you had 60 versus 40. But we have some people in the Senate who don't like Mr. Trump who were elected, like Mitt Romney. Scott from Florida, Holly from Missouri, they are not going to be kissing Mr. Trump's patootie.
Well, as you say, I mean, for the past 2 years, we've seen that slim majority, and it has really stifled the Republican agenda.
What's the agenda going to be immediately off the bat? I think we can predict this. One's going to be health care and making sure that people who have pre-existing conditions are not harmed by any kind of health care legislation. That will pass both houses. Now, something will have to be given up for that, some other entitlement, because the budget is just blown. The other thing we're going to see is something done on immigration. It'll be the Dreamers. So I think a Dreamer bill will come with a wall. And I don't think the Democrats care about the wall. They can even take credit for it if they give it to them, because it won't make any difference. Because with this wall will come better procedures for people to get into the United States. And Trump has already signaled that. He says, we need good people here because we have all these jobs. What he's saying is, all those Southern Republicans who have farms, ranches, and factories don't have any workers. And they're on his back about getting some. So I think he's going to turn this around. The third thing that has to happen is something has to be done about this budget. And the only place that could really be done is in military spending. That's going to be a little tougher fight, but I think they can get there.
Mm. Now, you've talked about the non-Trump Republicans coming up in the party, but it can't be said for all of them. Steve King, Iowa, he was out-trumping Trump, if anything, and he's come through with a win. Ron DeSantis, dog-whistling and a pretty reasonable sort of volume in the race against Andrew Gillum. He's come through successful. So as much as we talk about the non-Trump Republicans, you mentioned these guys a few times, there must be a segment of voters, a significant segment of Republican voters for whom no behavior is unacceptable or too outrageous.
Unfortunately, that is true. But in the case of King, remember, his challenger didn't have a chance until 2 weeks ago. In the case of DeSantis, it is hard to figure this one out. Gillum led in every single poll. Almost nobody said they were voting against Gillum. And I think this is a black factor, that when people got in the booth, they said, I just can't vote for a black man. Let somebody else do that. He lost by, 150,000 votes? Not a whole lot. The other thing is, he lost to Hispanics, because there is a bit of a rivalry in Florida between Hispanics and blacks. And Cuban Hispanics almost never vote for a black. Puerto Ricans, different story. So let's not count Gillum or Stacey Abrams out. They're young, they're vital, they're totems. And we have O'Rourke, who is Mr. Everything. O'Rourke narrowly lost to Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was in the run for his life. I don't think we're going to see Cruz running again, particularly if O'Rourke is going to be the candidate. So let's take a look at what's happened here. We have some new totems. We have Stacey Abrams. She's going to be around. We have Gillum. He's going to be around. We have O'Rourke. It's going to be around. There are a couple other demos who narrowly lost in races. They're going to be around. And even in Arizona, if Sesema, I forget how we'll pronounce her name, Sesema, if she loses this election, there's still another election coming up to fill the seats vacated by McCain.
Mm.
So her signs are still fresh. And that election will come up probably within the year. So she's probably going to the U.S. Senate.
In terms of some of the Democratic winners, we did see a really great night for women. We've seen two Muslim women elected into the Congress, rather intriguingly. We've seen Anyao Peresley becoming the first black woman to represent Massachusetts, Kansas Democrat Sharice Davids. And it's actually, and this is not just Democrats, but indeed there are some Republicans mixed in as well, over 100 women in Congress for the first time ever.
Yes, and the Democrats did a great, had a great deal of that. The Republicans had some. The first governor of South Dakota, female governor. I don't think these females, this is just my view, will treat the job the same way as the Trump-loving males did, particularly on social policy. There's generally been a reluctance of women to treat things like health care, race issues, discrimination, and so forth in the kind of truculent way that males have. So I don't think they're going to be as easy to work with. So I'm glad to see the women coming in. But also, in every country around the world, we see more and more women coming in because they're well-educated. They have the capacity, they're not tired, and they don't represent the past.
Any other wins we should be taking note of?
Well, I don't know. I think it may still be out, but Rohrabacher in Southern California, congressman for almost 30 years, if he was knocked off, that is a great sign. And look at what happened in Virginia, the 1st, the 10th. All those long-term Republican suburbs gone. So the Republicans have a real problem now at the House. Where's the leadership coming from? Where's their future going to be? We can see where the Democrats' future is coming from, but where's the Republican future coming from? almost no doubt that Trump will be the candidate in 2 years. We thought he would be impeached. But there's almost no doubt he will be the candidate. So the Democrats have to make sure they hold what they held, and they have to win Florida this time.
We're going to talk about this one. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, this morning announcing his resignation. Very clear it was either resign or be fired. Ed, we knew this one was going to come to a head after midterms, but I got to say, I didn't expect it to happen while the voting booths were still warm, such as it were.
Yeah, it came a little bit quick, but it was certainly telegraphed. And the president was mad, and he had to kick the cat. And Sessions is the cat. And he kicked Sessions. Let's see what happens. Sessions is the kind of guy who might get back at Trump. He has a lot of friends in the legislatures. He has a lot of friends in the South. Sessions could even come back in Alabama as a member of the Senate. So I don't think the name Sessions is going to go away. Sessions is not going to go and hide. Let's wait for Sessions' rebirth.
Watch this space.
Watch this space.
Obvious question, but what's going to happen with the Russia investigation? What's likely in your view?
I think that's going to come to a close. I think Mueller will wrap it up in the next month or two. The president will be an unindicted co-conspirator. He will go after young Trump and all these other people. And the president, given the fact that the House is what it is, and the Senate, he can't really depend on them. So if he wants to keep his job, he'll probably have to let those people swing. So that's the way I think it's going to go down. All the people who are in jail or pleaded are going to spend some time in jail. And this relatively expensive investigation will come to a close. What do we got from it? Well, we're closing the door on all this stuff in the internet. We're closing the door on a lot of infiltration stuff. And we're closing the door on a lot of the stuff the president's done with his own money, his own foundation, and stuff like this. And we're probably crippling his income for a long time to come.
In terms of who's going to take the job after Jeff Sessions, right now it is Matt Whitaker. He's made no secret of being a Trump loyalist. And I've got to imagine whoever the permanent replacement's going to be, the important part of the resume is not going to be the experience they have or their legal dedication. It's going to be personal loyalty to Trump.
I think it's going to be Matt Whitaker for a long time. Mm. And the reason is Matt Whitaker is loyal. He's not much of a lawyer. And he will do what Trump asks him to do. So what we have to look at, what's going to happen to Rosenstein? I think he's on shaky ground now. But I could imagine Romney and others saying, don't go there. You know, leave this alone. But a deal's going to be struck where the president can stay in the job, but his wings will be clipped.
Circling back to House Democrats and the investigations we were talking about a few minutes ago, having them in control will likely mean more investigations, more indictments of those surrounding Trump. The president has threatened to go to warlike footing with Dems if they bring more investigations to bear. Have we got the sort of friendly, let's all get along Trump up until this point?
This is going to be played out in a slightly different way. The Dems are going to go after the targets that the American people. The American people want to know what his tax return's like. It doesn't matter whether the Trump supporters or not. The American people, most of them want the Mueller investigation to conclude. The American people want health care and so on. And the American people are pretty tired and fed up with environmental secretaries and HUD secretaries and people like this who are incompetent. So the Democrats will probably go after low-hanging fruit. And the president will make a lot of noise. But that's only to his base. No one else will be listening.
Now, there were a couple of predictions I wanted to look ahead for, given these results that we've seen in the midterms. And you did sort of settle one of these a moment ago, that in 2020 you believe Donald Trump will still be the presidential candidate put forward by the Republicans. I've got to say, regardless of impeachment, though, this let's say this press conference he's held after the results came through for midterms, where he's been on the attack against various reporters, he looks tired. He looks fed up. He looks like he is sick of this job, sick of this game.
He may well be, but his pride will stand in the way. And he'll get on the golf course and so on. But what is his agenda? The wall? Does he have anything else? Taxes done? I think everyone who can keep breathing will stay on the Supreme Court. Sure, he'll have a lot of judges and people like that to make. But all of a sudden, he's going to be facing members of Congress in the Senate who aren't going to go for anybody who's put up for a judge. The other thing he has to worry about is his own staff. I would anticipate more than 50% of those people are going to go, because they're not going to want to be hauled before Congress with subpoenas and have to hire lawyers. Sarah Huckabee might be one of the lead people gone. So that's going to make him even more tired. The fact that he's tired doesn't mean he won't run. He ran a hell of a race. Let's give him credit in that last 60 days. I didn't think he had it in him, but he did it. Can he do it again? Sure. But all of a sudden, the Democrats have Pennsylvania. The Democrats have Illinois. The Democrats have Wisconsin. The only place the Democrats don't have, well, they have in part, they have, the governor of Ohio is a Republican, but the key senator is a Democrat. And if you look at the House elections, the Democrats won almost all of them in the cities. So they could easily get that. So even without Florida, if you get Ohio, and I've always said this, you have to have Ohio or Florida. If you get Ohio or Florida, you win.
And,
who's going to run for president? Joe Biden.
That's a face I'd love to see in the fight.
And it'll either be O'Rourke or Kamala Harris.
And just as a final point, any other lessons Democrats should take from the midterms for a better result in 2020?
Well, I think they should keep bringing in people who look like the people who they're going to serve. Mm. Now, Amy McGrath lost in Kentucky, but she wasn't defeated. She was a great candidate. The governor lost in Florida, but he's a great candidate. So what they've done is found how to build quality candidates who are not too far to the left or too far to the right. So I think the big lesson is quality counts. The second thing is narrow your focus. They narrowed their focus on the House. It was not on the Senate. They knew it was treacherous to try to do that. And the third lesson I would say is, don't fight Trump. Have an agenda. And if they have an agenda, they'll have a lot of victories.
And I'll be back next week to talk the latest in U.S. news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.